Good evening.
G'day.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. It's a great honor and privilege. I've heard that my whole life. I grew up in a faithful church. Many of y'all heard of Brother Henry Mahan. He was my pastor when I was growing up. And in my whole life, I've heard men like Angus come and preach, and they say, it's an honor and a privilege to be here. It's my pleasure. And I said, well, that's just a greeting and salutation. That's the thing you're supposed to, I mean it. Now I understand. That's for your pastor to have me here, and for you to have me here, it's a great honor and to preach to you. Thank you for having me, and what wonderful guests or hosts we have. I hope we're good guests. Well, that's to be determined. But the hospitality we've had is, and tour guides, we've really enjoyed ourselves so far. I'm thankful for Angus and Lisa. They're top notch. And as I try to always encourage people, we've had Angus preach a few times for me. Our Lord is risen. When he came from that grave, he ascended on high to ever make intercession for us. He gave ascension gifts. That's serious. If the king came by, there's a king now. If there's a king come by and said, I want you to have this watch, will you tell you, look what I have. The king gave me that. The king gave Australia a continent, Angus Fisher. And I'm thankful you're here. God's choice man. So it's a privilege for me to be here. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll be looking at Psalm 29 this evening. I hope to, while I'm here tonight, tell you who God is. And I hope I don't yell with joy. It's in me. It makes me very happy. And then tomorrow night, I'll describe more of what he's done and what he did for me. And then I hope I don't cry with joy too much, but I probably will. So, Psalm 29. Many believe that David wrote this during a thunderstorm. And all the proportions here in this text are perfect. I don't have to worry about concentrating too much on one thing. The Lord's gave us here in perfect proportions. We preach Christ and Him crucified, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so easy for me to focus on the work because that's what I've experienced. That's what I need, and that's what must be done for His people. But our substitute, that's important. Substitution's absolutely, eternally necessary. But if I'm your substitute, that ain't going to do you any good. If just some other person's my substitute, that won't be any help to me. So who is the substitute? Almighty God is. He's provided Himself as the Lamb. What He requires, He's provided. And so we're going to see some different things here. It's necessary for us to see what Christ has done, and it's necessary for us to see who He is. It's comforting for us to see everything He's done for His people. But for me, and I'm sure it's no different where it happens to be another culture and another degree of latitude, it's comforting to me to know who He is, who I've been made one with, who my representative is. The proportions here are good. They're in the right amount for today. We'll see in these first two versings what we call in America a call to worship. People didn't have clocks a long time ago, so when they heard the organs playing or the piano, sometimes they'd ring a bell. That was so people knew it's time to come. It's time to come to worship. So the first two verses are call to worship. And then verse 3 through 8, we'll see just the power and the might of the Holy God. This is who we came here to worship. This is who He's talking about. This is a must. We must see who it was that laid down His life. And then we see in verse 9, He's given us life. For His people, He comes to them individually. He gives them life where there was no life. Verse 10, judgment satisfied. We've been given life. We see what we are. We're discovered. And then we see judgment satisfied. And then verse 11, we see why. All of this is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it is because of the one who is our strength. And His people are blessed with peace When we see him, we see all that he is, and it'll take eternity for us to get a fix on him. It ain't going to happen. When we see how magnificent he is and gracious and powerful, and we see what he's done for undeserving common things like us, boy, we'll have peace. We'll have peace. Verse 1 says, give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. How? How can anyone give the Lord something? You don't have anything. That's plain talk where I come from. You're nothing and you have nothing. Well, I can give my time. It's not your time. I can give my possessions. They're not your possessions. I could give my children. Well, those aren't my children. They're his. Everything is the Lord's. The Lord said in the Psalms, he said, the earth is his and the fullness thereof. So everything we see, that's his. And if something comes from that, a fullness has grown out of that field, that's his too. If I thank him, I'm thanking him out of lungs he gave me and a mouth he gave me and with his air. It's his, isn't it? We read over in Psalm 50. He says, hear, O my people, and I will speak. Hear, Israel, and I'll testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. He said, I will not reprove thee for the sacrifices of burnt offerings that are continually before me. He said, I'll take no bullock out of the house. I don't want a cow out of your house. I don't want the goats out of your folds. He said, all the beasts of the field, they're mine. They're mine. And the wild beasts of the fields. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Cattle on 1,000 hills are his, aren't they? He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. You pay thy vows unto the Most High. Thank him. Have we ever done that? If it rains, oh, thank you, Lord. And if it's cold and windy, thank you, Lord. And if you're happy about it or sad about it or hurt or feel good or bad, thank you, Lord. He gave it. It's of his hand, isn't it? He said, call upon me in the day of trouble and I'll deliver you. And thou shalt glorify me. So what does that word give me? There's nothing we have to give him. It means ascribe. Ascribe. That's to credit, to impute, to declare what's already there. Give him, accredit him, ascribe to him glory and strength. All glory is yours, Lord. And all strength, all power, all everything, it's yours. It's in your hand. It says, give. Verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Who's that? Who's the mighty? There's three things come to mind. First one's the mighty ones of this earth. The rulers, the kings, and the governors, and those in power. You are where you are because the Lord put you there. You ain't nothing special. Your heart's in his hand just like everyone else's heart is. And thank the Lord and give him glory and strength. Ascribe it to him. Who made you to differ? That's what Paul asked. The Lord did. That's the mighty people of this earth, those in power. And that's all the way down, not just kings. It's easy for us to talk about that. Tell presidents. My president ought to ascribe all his position and the glory to God for where he is. But that goes down to governors and local people, local politicians, and business owners, small business owners. If you own a coffee shop, the Lord gave you that. What about mommies and daddies in our homes? What about pet owners? You have a pet, you're over that pet. Give glory to the Lord, don't you? The mighty ones of this earth and the mighty hosts of heaven, the angels, they ascribe glory. They ascribe, they credit strength to the Lord. They're his. But what about those that's made strong and made mighty in Christ? You. We have a little different experience in that, don't they? The people of the earth, they can give a lip service to the Lord. The angels can properly and morally innocent give credit to the Lord, give glory and strength to him. But we've experienced his glory. We've experienced his strength. So we praise him. Watch this. It says in verse 2, not as we ought. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. What do his people say? Do you worship God the way he ought to be worshipped? No. No, we don't. Do you want to worship him the way we ought to worship you? I sure do. I do. The day will come. You pray for that. Lord, we'll be with you. Be made like you and give you the glory that you rightfully deserve. Give him the glory due to his name and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What's worship? There's been books without end. Solomon said that it goes on and on. It's more books. He said, stop writing books all the time. What's worship? There's a lot of books about it. We say often in the all around the United States, and I'm sure here in the world, we're going to go to worship service, go worship God. But people say that without understanding. They don't know what this is. What is worship? A few things I know. Worship equals adoration. Adoration. It means sacrifice. That's what Isaac was told. Where are we going, Daddy? And Abraham said, we're going to worship God. We're sacrificing unto God. But it means reverence, a deep appreciation, a thankfulness, adoration. We had a lady in our congregation had a baby. My pastor told us growing up, he said, if you want to see adoration, you go see a new baby. Don't look at the baby. When you go there, look at mama. Look mommy in the eyes. And you'll see how she looks at that baby. That's complete adoration. Complete giving of oneself to another. That's what worship is. And it's beautiful. It's lovely when we gather together. When we're sitting outside. The breeze is blowing. The Lord's sun is setting back over us. And you're here. I'm here with my brothers and sisters. You have the same Father I have. The same God I have. That's beautiful, isn't it? You know how many people I flew over to get here to see you and drove past? How many did you drive past? How many take care of you? The Lord's servants, firefighters, and the people paving the road just so you could come and worship Him and complete adoration. Giving Him the glory and the strength that He is already in. We just get together and say the same thing. That's our call to worship, isn't it? We're going to give all the glory and the work, the person and the work to Him. It's His work. He said, you're my workmanship. Mighty folks come and credit the Lord for who He is and what He's done. And some might say, well, who is He? He tells us plainly. Verse 3, the voice, he keeps saying the voice, the voice, the voice. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. He declares of Himself. This voice tells people something. And He is upon the waters. And I thought, I wonder where He's going with that. There's a lot of different waters in the Scripture, isn't there? There in Genesis 1, it said the earth was void without form, darkness was upon the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And the Lord said, let there be light, and there's light. That's what waters. He's on the trouble we're in all by ourselves when He comes to us and says, live. His voice does that. It's the execution of His will. And that also handles destruction. There in Genesis 7, the floods came. He told Noah, get an ark. Get an ark. There's a picture of Christ. He told him, make yourself an ark. Christ was made our ark. He set upon the floods. And that ark was risen above our highest peak, exalted above the entire earth. And His people in it, sealed with pitch, inside and out, in it, in Him. What a picture He is. He said He's the Lord upon the waters. And then in Psalm 107, it says, those that go in deep seas and ships to do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord. They go way out in them oceans, out in that Pacific Ocean, and these rogue waves coming and boy, they see the Lord's doing this. The Lord's doing this. He commands. He raises the stormy winds. Does that mean I have to be a fisherman to know God? Of course not. What's your deep waters? What's your stormy waters? How many buckets have you filled with tears? That's our stormy waters, isn't it? He sends those. The Lord sends those tears. He sends the trials that bring those tears. Why? So we'll ascribe to Him His glory. His strength, won't we? And then that's for life He gives, destruction that's His, the instruction, when we see it in the storms of life, to look to Him, and justification and sanctification. And the Lord was hanging on that cross. They come by and they said, break all their legs so we can hurry up because we got to keep our law. The Jews' Passover, not the Lord's Passover, Jews' Passover is at hand. And they said, hurry us up, break His legs. And they saw He's already dead. He'd given up the ghost. He said, well, don't break His legs. That way the Scriptures could be fulfilled. Not a bone shall be broken. And so they took a big spear and pierced His side. And water and blood came out of it. The voice of the Lord's upon the waters. With their wicked hands, they crucified him. It was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that put him there, wasn't it? That water and blood come out. It was a young fellow who died at 38 years old. Y'all probably heard of him, Augustus Top Lady. And he had a pretty good understanding of what that was. He wrote, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Speak comfort unto my people. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. They've received double for all their sins. They've been washed clean from all their sins. And they've been made holy. They can't sin." Just to have a clean slate to be in front of a holy God ain't going to cut it. Not just, you have to, the ability of failure cannot be there. You have to be made holy like He's holy. "Be ye holy as your God's holy," is what He said. God's voice was on the water. And when we hear His voice command those waters of judgment and the waters of cleansing, we say with David, "He makes us lie down in green pastures and He leads us beside still waters." They're still waters. Not stormy waters no more. Well, a trial's still going to come? Oh, that's going to happen. Rebecca said, "Lord, if I'm so, if there is life in me," and that's what you say, that's what I say, the old man and the new man. "If there's life in me, why am I thus?" He said, "There's two nations in you. I put creation in you, my creation." And Rebecca understood that she's still pregnant. Them babies were still fighting in her belly, wasn't they? But we know those waters are His waters. Verse 3 says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth." He thunders. I love thunder. I always have. I was hopeful it was going to rain this morning. It don't rain much in San Diego County, and it sure don't thunder much. And normally if we hear thunder, that means a fire might be getting ready to happen, so we get nervous. So but my whole life I've heard these thunderstorms, and just, oh, it's marvelous, marvelous, isn't it? Turn back just one book. If you got your Bibles, there's Job. There's a man by the name of Maurice Montgomery. He was preaching one day, and all of a sudden Maurice wasn't speaking, and the Lord was speaking to me. And he was reading out of Daniel 4, but he had just read Job 37. Begin verse 2. Well, Elihu's talking. He says, "Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth." Listen to it. "He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency. And he will not stay then when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. When the voice of the Lord speaks, it thunders in a marvelous way." And we can't understand it, do we? Just like the wind. We can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. We see His providence. What brought us here? Every molecule that's ever moved throughout creation, throughout time, has been perfectly ordered by the will of God to bring all of us here right now. Isn't that amazing? Can you understand that? It's so. Can't explain it, can I? That's marvelous. Marvelous. And it thunders in us, doesn't it? The blind, they don't have to see lightning. They can hear the thunder, don't they? What about the deaf? They can feel it. They can feel the thunder. And the Lord speaks. It's marvelous. And it thunders. Our Lord prayed out loud. He said, "Father, glorify thy name." There in John 12. And then a voice came from heaven. He said, "I've both glorified it and I'll glorify it again. I have, son." And people around me, some said, "It thundered. It thundered." There's times people walk around this earth and all they hear is just noise. Oh, it's just natural things. It's just thunder. And then sometimes the Lord shakes them. And they hear Him. And it's marvelous, isn't it? What comes with thunder? Lightning comes with thunder. It comes with it. As a child, I always heard about these high-speed cameras. They just come out with them. And they realized that lightning came from the ground and went up. There's science behind it, the charge of particles and distribution of energy and things of those nature. But if they'd have just read Job, they'd had a good handle on that. Did you know that? There, people talk about spectrum analysis, and light makes noise. Did you know that? In Job, the oldest book there is, the Lord says the stars sang to me. We just listen in. Turn over one page on Job 38, verse 35. Job 38:35. The Lord's speaking to Job, and he asked him so many things. He said, do you know how much snow I have reserved in the storehouses to turn a battle? Do you know how much is there? That'll shut us up, won't it? Here in verse 35, Job 38:3, Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. The Lord said, lightning, go over there. And from the earth, the lightning says, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord. It comes up, doesn't it? The lightning obeys him. That's power, isn't it? We can't do that. Man said that one time. Those are just natural things. You can't do it. You can't. Who are you going to give the glory to? The Lord. Whose strength, whose power is it? His power. Yes. Verse 4. Back in our text, Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Paul said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He wrote to that church at Thessalonica. And I could say to you, brethren, I know your election of God. You don't. You worry and fret and, oh, Lord, keep me. And I say, oh, that's the Lord's election. You look at me whenever I say, there's no way in the world I'm a child of God. That man that shaves my face in the morning is wicked and evil. And there's no way I could be his. I'm the accuser of this, brethren. And then you say, well, Kevin, of course you're the Lord. Paul said, brethren, I know your election of God because our gospel came to you not in just word. They just come giving you some cold, dead letter doctrine, and this isn't a theological standpoint that you agree with. He said, our word came to you in power. Dynamis. We get the word dynamite. I hope I can light it and just throw it and get out the way. Our words came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Those birds are singing to the Lord. That wind's His wind blowing. Does that give you assurance or make you nervous? That comforts me. It's His power, isn't it? The voice of the Lord is powerful and it's majestic. Look here in verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Those big 100-foot tall trees, old, big, strong trees, they're shattered with His thunder and lightning into little tiny toothpicks. You ever see a tree hit by lightning? One of two things happens. The tree breaks and it bows, doesn't it? Or it burns. Stays right where it is and scarred up. It's burnt to death. I know there's a still small voice. I'll quote that to you in a minute. But that still small voice that comes to us, it's like thunder and lightning. There's power in that voice when the Lord speaks. And there's going to be evidence it was there. There's going to be evidence it was there. When I was a little tiny boy, asked my pastor one time, and he said, if Christ is in me, I'm little and He's grown up. Wouldn't He stick out? And the parents said, yeah, son. If He's in you, He's going to stick out. It's going to be obvious. If He comes with that lightning and that thunder in the heart of His people, it's going to be obvious. Well, what about those that didn't? Those that are burnt. So the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee. And that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. You mean the Lord put Pharaoh up there and made him say no? All those plagues came and then he had to chase that and his army had to be drowned in the Red Sea so the Lord would know his name? We know that story, don't we? We know it. Every knee will bow. It's only a matter of when. We'll either bow on this earth or we'll bow after, won't we? Verse 6, Psalm 29, verse 6. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Those big old trees. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. What's Syrian? That's Mount Hermon in Lebanon. You can read it over in Deuteronomy 3. But that's a mountain. He makes big old trees and mountains to skip like a little calf. The voice of the Lord, His word, His will, make them skip like a little antelope. They bounce around with joy. How could that happen? The faithfulness of Christ. What can make an old, stony, dead mountain like me, or an old, stiff, unmovable, bendable tree, dance? The faithfulness of Christ. He can move mountains, can't he? Or Matthew 17, it says that disciples asked him, they couldn't heal that boy that's possessed, that's throwing himself in the fire. And they asked him, said, Lord, why couldn't we cast that demon out of him? And he said, because you were unbelief. He said, verily I say unto you, if you'd had a faith as a grain of mustard seed, sitting right there on the table, itty bitty, a grain of mustard seed. He said, you could say unto these mountains, go yonder, and it'll remove. You said, jump in the ocean. That mountain will go jump in the ocean. If you believe. Well, who has the faith to do that, to make mountains dance like little calves? The Lord does. Only Him. His voice makes a bunch of old stiff trees and dead rocks leap for joy. Leap. I thought of John the Baptist there in the womb. Don't it make you happy when you hear him? When he comes close, you hear about not my faith and how good I've done, his faithfulness. My faith is his faithfulness. When we hear about him, John the Baptist is in the womb. There and Elizabeth and Mary come in the same room, and that baby started leaping. He had the Holy Ghost from the womb, didn't he? Oh, his Lord was in the room. He knew who that was, didn't he? Couldn't keep from him. There in verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames. There's a whole lot of commentaries on this. And I was thinking, as I was reading all these different ones, the commentaries we have on the scriptures, as my pastor said, the scriptures can shed a whole lot of light on those commentaries. But the commentaries they had, that was God's man for that generation in that time, their thoughts on a particular passage of scripture on one day. This is the living word, isn't it? That's right. That'll hit me where I live at some point. That's right. That was at that one time in one day. That's when the Lord says, oh, ye of little faith. There's times I'd crawl underneath rocks and mountains and go hide. Oh, don't you just feel so horrible sometimes? Why don't I believe this holy God that rules and reigns the universe? Why don't I walk through this town acting like somebody believes God? I'm so little faith. Oh, now, the next day I'll read that, and he'll say, oh, ye of little faith. And I say, you hear that? He said, we had faith. That's saving faith. He gives it. It's saving faith. It's eternal. Can't be taken away. His gifts are without repentance. It lives, doesn't it? The voice of the Lord divideth the flame. I thought of those three Hebrew children. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, burn them up. And those men that cast them into the furnace, they burn up too. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked, and he said, looks like there's four in there. And he said, one of them looks like the Son of God. And they come out. And I thought, they didn't smell like smoke. We know that, right? And the three of them walked out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. They was missing one thing. But it was with the Lord, and he divided that flame. They was missing their bonds, weren't they? The ropes that bound them. He loosed them and let them go. He divided the flames from us, didn't he? The Lord took all the flame I deserved. I earned that eternal punishment and justness. I broke his holy law, and he put that on his son. This whole world went black. God turned his back on God because of my sin. He looked on his darling son and saw Kevin Thacker. He saw you. And he killed him. And now he looks at you and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Wonderful. Come. I got a place ready for you. I'm going to feed you. There's a table set. Isn't that amazing? He divides the flame. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The earth quakes where others don't feel it. Out in the wilderness, bare wilderness. I hope y'all don't get offended when we say it's an island. We say that's a big island. North America is an island. Just every continent's an island, I guess. But way out in the middle of nowhere, all alone, ain't nothing going on out there. The Lord's shaking there. The Lord's shaking this place up for years now, a couple decades, 15 years. The Lord's been shaking Nowra, Australia. You imagine that? shakes in the wilderness. Over in 1 Kings 19, we read the Lord had come to Elijah and always sent so many things. The wind came and the earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And the earth shook. Lord, the wind came, the Lord wasn't in it. And the earth shook, and the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And the fire came, the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then that still small voice came. What's that teach us? The Lord's not just in things, is he? I hope I never preach election. I don't ever want to preach election. I want to preach the God of election. I don't want to just preach a man that preaches sovereignty. I want to preach a God who is sovereign. You get that? I don't want to preach the attributes. I want to preach the person, who he is. When he speaks, when his voice comes, Elijah heard it and he wrapped his face in a mantle. Oh, isn't that what happened to a few other ones? When they hear the Lord, they fell on their faces a dead man. They hid their faces. Lord's people want to hide their face, don't they? We know who he is. We see his holiness and his glory and his strength and his power is on display. We bow. Then what happens? Verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. He makes the deers to have babies. Does that seem out of place to you? He thundereth marvelously. He rules and reigns this whole world. And then life comes. He makes the wilderness to shake. Life comes. Life comes. He discovers the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. He gives life in the midst of what everyone else in the world calls chaos, doesn't he? The earth's shaking, the wind's blowing, the storm's coming, the thunder and the lightning's crashing, and a deer, I don't know how jumpy kangaroos are, but they're the same family. If you ever shoot a deer and you're bow hunting, you got to aim a little low. They call it drop. And so as soon as you let go, just a small sound, and that deer will drop about 2 inches. They're scared little animals. They're frightened over every little thing. And they'll jump. And the Lord comes in all that chaos to a frightful little deer and puts life in it. He's their midwife. He's with it in the wilderness. And they have children all over. Kangaroos having babies all over this place, ain't they? The Lord's with them. He gives life. Life's given. And then he discovers the forest. What's that mean? He sees the forest as it is. All the leaves fall. Whenever you have life, you realize your fig leaf ain't going to cover anything. You get that? The Lord gives life. You must be born again, he told Nicodemus. We see his power and his might. We bow to him, and we realize we're nothing. We're convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit's going to come. That Comforter's going to come. It's going to do three things. Three things. I can remember that, can't you? Convict the world of sin because they didn't believe on me. Lord, my doctrine was straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. I was growing up, and the Lord put life in me, and I said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I bore myself. I saw I was naked. I needed covering. He discovered my forest. And everyone in his temple declares his glory. In heaven they declare, the mighty declares his glory, and we do, don't we? Why? Because he's righteous. We're convicted of his righteousness. He's the only one that is righteous. He's the only one that deserves glory and strength and power and might. It's his. Always has been. Well, what about the conviction of judgment? Holy Spirit comes, speaking of Christ, convicting of sin, convicting of his righteousness, and convicting of judgment. Look here in verse 10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Singular. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Judgment's accomplished. That flood of judgment, he sits on it. I thought about that a long time this past week. Can you sit on water? I can't sit on water. I can't sit. A flood comes, it washes everything away. He sits on it. Why? He stilled it. It's been satisfied completely. Judgment's accomplished. And the king sits there forever. How's all that done? Verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. David said in Psalm 28, one book over, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And he said, he's the saving strength of his anointed. That's a person, isn't it? The Lord will give strength. He'll give Christ unto his people. The one that's accomplished every bit of this. The one that was the substitute. He and the Father are one. That's who was sent. He will reveal Christ to his people. He'll give strength to his people. And the Lord will bless his people with peace. With peace. This one who stood in my place was the Almighty God of everything. And always will be. He rules and reigns forever. And that's the one that said it's finished. Everything he's declared is going to happen. And his will set forth. That hour came. And he said, it's finished. What do you add to something that's finished? You don't. It's done. That's where he says, my people's going to have peace. What do you have? What must be a way to have peace? War must be over. The battle must be done. If you're still putting out some skirmishes, there's no peace. You're still fighting. The war's accomplished. The battle's over. Christ laid down his life. This one who rules and reigns, this triune God manifested in a body, came to this earth, was made like me, was made like you. The substitute has to be the same. And he lived a perfect, holy life. Never a smirk, never a thought that was ever not perfect in honor of his Father. Because that's what's required of me. Had perfect, never wavering, because that's what's required for us. And he hung on that tree. Go read Matthew 27 sometimes and tell me how you feel. Chris asked that one time. How do you feel after you read that? Oh, he hung on that tree willingly, willingly, laying down his life for the sheep. He died. He ascended on his throne. That was our substitute. That last verse in Habakkuk said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds. Feet. He's going to make my feet like deer feet. And he'll make me to walk upon high places. That's a high place, isn't it? He'll make me walk on Christ. Just like a deer. And I'll jump marvelously. That's a joyous thing. That's a joyous thing. Brother Angus.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. What a great Savior. I thought we might teach our good friends, our closing doxology. Do we want to sing it? Have some songbirds willing to sing? We sing the last verses of Jude at the end of our service. So here we go. I'm not going to do it. Who's going to lead? Now, yeah, come on, Beth and Dawn, quickly. Now unto him who is able to keep you from you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding